From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
In the ongoing drama that is salmon fishing in Cook Inlet, the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly took a stand against two recent decisions by the state and federal governments that adversely affect commercial fishing in Cook Inlet. One resolution opposes the proposed Kachemak Bay State Park Management Plan and the closing of its hatchery, while the other asks the U.S. Secretary of Commerce to reject a North Pacific Fisheries Management Council decision to close commercial sockeye fishing outside state waters in Cook Inlet. KBBI's Jay Barrett has more.
Assemblyman Brent Johnson of Clam Gulch said the Tutka Bay hatchery benefits both upper and lower Cook Inlet fishermen and processors. The resolution asked the state to reject the plan, which would close the hatchery.
In years when there is inadequate fish in the upper inlet, the area processors fall back on those salmon that are produced down in the lower inlet because the major processors need to have a fair amount of product to stay in business. So this is something that affects upper inlet fishermen as well as lower inlet fishermen. This would be joining with other groups like the City of Homer and others that have sent similar resolutions.
Johnson recused himself from the vote on the resolution since he is a member of the Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association Board. The resolution was sponsored by Homer Assemblyman Lane Chesley. Johnson also spoke to the resolution opposing the North Pacific Fishery Management Council's decision last year to close federal waters in Cook Inlet to commercial salmon fishing.
And so this would ask the Secretary of Commerce to consider not closing that, not taking that advisement vote, because this is something that the drift fishery especially has been using for, well, since 1947 in particular. And they catch almost half of the salmon on an average in that area, or half the sockeye salmon anyway. So this is super important for the drift fishery and for fisheries management in general.
Assemblyman Jesse Bjorkman of Nikiski recused himself from that vote because he is an upper Cook Inlet drift fisherman. The resolution was sponsored by all of his fellow assembly members, as well as Mayor Charlie Pierce. Support for the resolution, though, was mixed during public testimony.
My name is Nancy Hillstrand from Pioneer Alaskan Fisheries. I've been in the fisheries for over 45 years, and I also did work for Fish and Game in hatcheries and stream rehabilitation, so I understand this issue very, very well. The upper Cook Inlet, the lower part of upper Cook Inlet, that definitely does have merit and should stay open, and I appreciate you putting in a resolution on that. But what does not have a merit is the Tutka Hatchery. When you have 1,512 permit holders that are paying their 2% into the hatchery down in lower Cook Inlet, I just think it's really unfair that they're having to do that because they get no benefit from this. So please do educate yourself on this issue before you just believe in certain councils that are giving you information, because it's a very complex issue that needs to be looked at closer.
My name is Ray DeBartolaban. I live in Kaseeloff, Alaska. I'm currently the president of the Kenai River Professional Guide Association. And tonight, I am here to oppose the resolution that you guys are going to support the Tutka Bay fishery enhancement of pink salmon. We need to take a pause. I'm not anti-enhancement, but we need to pause and just take a break on enhancing these pink salmon. I've been guiding here for 25 years, and pink salmon come every other year in the Kenai, just like you guys all know that. Well, that's not true anymore. Pink salmon come in the Kenai River system every year now in June, July, and August.
Both resolutions were on the consent agenda and were approved. In Homer, I'm Jay Barrett.
Members of the citizen boards that set the rules for fishing and hunting on Alaska's state lands aren't allowed to join the discussion if they have a conflict of interest. But Alaska's House Fisheries Committee is considering a bill that would allow members of the Board of Fisheries and Board of Game to join in those discussions, even if they've declared they have a financial stake in the matter. They still wouldn't be allowed to vote. Kodiak Republican Representative Louise Stutes co-sponsored House Bill 26. It's her third attempt to bring the legislation forward.
It's a good bill. It's a great bill. It will allow both the Board of Fish and Game both boards, meaning the Fish and Game boards, to benefit from their members' expertise, facilitating a more informed decisions and a stronger resource management.
Commercial fishing groups support HB 26. Francis Leach, the executive director of United Fishermen of Alaska, told the committee the change would encourage transparency by bringing discussions out into the open, which might otherwise occur behind closed doors.
The people making decisions for Alaska's precious wildlife and fisheries resources should be qualified and bring expertise to the table, not being muted. As has been pointed out, this bill does not allow board members to vote. It just allows them to share their knowledge in the area of expertise and provide them for a transparent deliberation, which I believe we all could benefit from transparent deliberations and where experts are weighing in. This bill will benefit all user groups, not just commercial fishermen.
Not everyone was convinced. Ben Moore, executive director of the Kenai Sport Fishing Association, argued it would allow conflicted members to improperly influence deliberations.
The current conflict procedures are not new. The current conflict procedures are not unknown or untested. They've been in place for a long time, and they've been reasonably effective. KRSA believes that loosening the longstanding ethical guidelines for this allocated body is not in the public interest.
HB 26 would still need a hearing before the Finance Committee. And so far, it does not have a companion bill in the state Senate. I had a chance to sit down on the telephone with Representative Louise Stutes. Ever since the dawn of governing boards and commissions, I mean, we've had to grapple with the same paradox. Ideally, your members will have a deep knowledge of the industry and, you know, established lines of communications with representatives and participants in the industry. But at the same time, you want their decisions to be objective and you don't want them to have a personal benefit. But that, isn't that especially tough in the fishing industry when, you know, a lot of times your financial or your familial interest in your area of expertise, you know, might be for your whole life. So, I mean, so their rule so far for the Board of Fish and the Board of Game is that members can't vote or speak on an action in which they have a personal interest. Is that correct? And how would you like to see that rule changed?
Well, we have a bill changing it. There's no point of having an area of expertise and then not being able to share that area of expertise. So what the bill says is you may, in fact, participate in the discussion fully. You just may not vote on the issue. Whereas now, if you have a conflict, you can't even participate in the discussion.
Well, it does seem kind of silly that you can only discuss things of which you have the least amount of knowledge.
Correct. And it's been very debilitating. When was it last year? One of the Board of Fish members was conflicted out in excess of 50 times. You know, that's ridiculous.
And it's one thing not to be able to vote, but to not be able to share your knowledge with the other members. I mean, as a matter of practicality, don't you kind of have to at least find some way to communicate with the other members of the board what you know? I mean,
that's what this bill does. It creates another layer of transparency, because when board members are conflicted out currently, they still speak to the other board members and impart their information, but they do it off the record and they do it in the back room or in the hallway or someplace else. This allows them to do it on the record, and it adds, like I said, it adds another layer of transparency, which is crucial.
Well, what about criticism that this just allows members to essentially influence the votes of other members publicly?
Good grief. It's a discussion. It's when you have to make a decision on something, don't you want to have all the information you can have before you make that decision? Don't you want to be educated on what you're making a decision on? Absolutely you do. It treats everybody equally, whether you're on the Board of Fish or on the Board of Game, and whether it's a sport issue or a subsistence issue or a commercial issue. It's all the same. Everybody gets treated the same. The Board of Fish and the Board of Game, which this bill relates to, they are the appropriators of our natural resources. And those boards have the ability to hugely affect people's livelihoods. So when there's a decision being made, you want your board to be educated.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Board members from the Kenai River Special Management Area are again floating the idea of a sockeye salmon stamp, a surcharge on sport fish licenses to fund infrastructure improvements on the Kenai River. The board hasn't ironed out details, but President Ted Wellman says a stamp would help with much-needed repairs to well-worn facilities.
And talking about boat launches, we're talking about fishing platforms, we're talking about all of the ways in which people access the Kenai River.
The state already has a stamp for king salmon anglers, which adds $10 to a resident license and $100 to a non-resident license. The proposed sockeye stamp would work similarly for Kenai and Kasilof River anglers who plan on catching sockeye. The legislature considered a statewide sockeye stamp in 2015. That plan saw a lot of support from local charter operators and anglers, but ultimately didn't pass. Wellman says the KRSMA board rescinded its support for the proposal when legislators moved to exempt personal use fisheries from the stamp. But it's been on the board's priority list for a while. Wellman says the need has become greater as angler numbers have risen and department budgets have dwindled.
And the funds that are available to the Department of Natural Resources Parks Division is simply not there to take care of the deferred maintenance. And many of the facilities are so old, they're literally falling apart and providing less access when the demand is much more.
Board members also suggested putting funds toward river regulation enforcement. Ideally, Wellman says, the Department of Natural Resources would oversee the fund, while the advisory board would advise where the money should go. In a memo, he suggested charging residents between $5 and $15 a stamp. It will be a while before a plan is finalized. Wellman says different committees within the advisory board still have to work out legal and logistical details. He says he's again expecting support from constituents.
And we have not received any feedback from anybody that they'd be unwilling to pay a reasonable fee as long as the money gets used to improve the resource.
He says it's important to make sure the money would go to local projects and not a general fund. Separately, the legislature is considering a surcharge on sport fish permits that would fund sport fish hatcheries around the state. That bill is now in the House Finance Committee.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, which recognizes the importance of Alaska's sustainable fisheries to the state's economy.
Thanks very much for the great reporting from KBBI's Jay Barrett, KDLL's Sabine Pooks, and KSTK's Sage Smiley. Good fishing, everybody.